The six keys all have the potential to unlock different aspects of people. The first key, however, is perhaps the most critical and the most overlooked. It originates from the neuroscience of brain plasticity. Although aspects of the evidence may be familiar to certain readers, many practices in schools, colleges, and businesses are based upon ideas that are the opposite of those I'll share. The result of fixed brain thinking is that we have a nation and world filled with underachieving people who've been limited by ideas that could and should be changed. So learning key number one is this. Every time we learn, our brains form, strengthen, or connect neural pathways. We need to replace the idea that learning ability is fixed with the recognition that we are all on a growth journey. Nestled in a part of California that's been described as a piece of Tuscany transplanted into North America is the villa that's the home of one of the world's leading neuroscientists, Michael Mertzenich. It was Mertzenich who stumbled upon one of the greatest scientific discoveries of our time, by accident. In the 1970s, he and his team had been using the newest technologies to map out the brains of monkeys. They were making what he called mind maps, maps of the working brain. It was exciting, cutting-edge work. The scientists hoped that the results of their studies would send ripples through the scientific community. But what Mertzenich and his team discovered didn't send ripples, it sent crashing waves that would go on to change people's lives profoundly. The team successfully made mind maps of the monkeys' brains and then set the maps aside to continue on with other aspects of their work. When they returned to the mind maps, they realized the monkeys' brain networks, which they'd sketched out in the mind maps, had changed. Mertzenich himself reflected, "What we saw was absolutely astounding. I couldn't understand it." Eventually, the scientists drew the only possible conclusion they could. The brains of the monkeys were changing, and they were changing quickly. This was the birth of what came to be known as neuroplasticity. When Mertzenich published his findings, he received pushback from other scientists. Many simply would not accept an idea that they'd been so certain was wrong. Some scientists had believed that brains were fixed from birth, others that brains became fixed by the time people became adults. The evidence that adult brains were changing every day seemed inconceivable. Now, two decades later, even those who were the most vehemently opposed to the evidence from neuroplasticity research have conceded. Unfortunately, our schools, colleges, businesses, and culture have, for hundreds of years, been built around the idea that some people can and some people can't. This is why putting young students into different groups and teaching them differently made perfect sense. If individuals within a school or company weren't reaching their potential, it wasn't due to teaching methods or environmental factors, but to their limited brains. But now, with decades of knowledge about brain plasticity, it's time that we eradicate this damaging myth about learning and potential. Energized by the new evidence showing brain plasticity in animals, researchers began to look at the potential of human brains to change. One of the most compelling studies of the time came from London, the city where I had my first teaching and university job. London is one of the most vibrant cities in the world, and it's always filled with millions of residents and visitors. On any day in London, you'll see black cabs zipping around the thousands of major throughways, streets, and lanes. The drivers of these iconic taxi cabs hold themselves to very high professional standards. Londoners know that if they get in a black cab and tell the driver a road to find and the driver doesn't know it, the driver should be reported to black cab authorities. Knowing all the roads in London is quite a feat, and drivers go to huge lengths to learn them. In order to become a black cab driver, you need to study for at least 4 years. The most recent cab driver I travelled with told me he'd studied for 7 years. During this time, drivers must memorise every one of the 25,000 streets and 20,000 landmarks within a 6-mile radius of the centrally located Charing Cross station, and every connection between them. This is not a task that can be accomplished through blind memorization. The drivers drive the roads, experiencing the streets, landmarks, and connections, so they can remember them. At the end of the training period, the drivers take a test that is aptly named the knowledge. On average, people have to take the test 12 times in order to pass it.